This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What's up? It's your boy, The Ted Smith. Thanks for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast. Want more? Check out the greatest podcast in all the land, The Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and listen to a brand new episode every Tuesday night.
The debauchery rolls on. You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Right, a question, 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Alex. Welcome to The Men's Room.
Random. Hey, how's it going?
Hola. Alex, how you doing, man?
I've been better. How about you guys?
We're doing good, man.
You've been better. What the hell is wrong?
I'd rather not get into it right now, but let's just roll on.
All right, roll
Negative
on
Monday.
Well then.
Okay.
Negative Monday. Let's stick with being a kid here for a second.
All righty.
What toy or game, when you were a kid, something maybe you did extracurricularly, would you would now be considered totally unsafe for a kid to use today?
In today's modern age, simply going outside and riding on a bicycle.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
It's really not. Did you have any parameters as far as how far you could ride, where you could go?
No, bless you, Mike. I'm quite thankful that I mean, I was only born in 99, but I grew up with parents who were born in the early 60s. And, when they told me to go outside, they said, get your ass outside, go do something, get out of here.
Yeah, without question.
It was on the weekends or during summer vacation from school. I always remember, after 10 a.m., if either one of my parents saw me, like, why are you in the house? I mean, it was like, You need to leave all day.
Right.
Now, I'm even, like, you would get a skateboard. I got one when I was 7 years old.
That's about, yeah, same
And
age.
It was a hilly area, and there was no instructions, there was no knee pads, there was no helmets, you know what I mean? It was easy to sprain a wrist, it was easy to fall down.
But even, I think you learn quicker, man. One thing, look, my kids, they got to rock the helmets, the pads, all that crap if they ride that stuff. And I'm a stickler for it, but I never want to tell them, like, oh, I didn't have to use any of that. Now, that said, it doesn't mean it was a good idea, but even when I bring this up to my father now, he goes, right, but you learned how to ride a bike faster. He said, because after you crash into the mailbox, busted up your knees and hit your head, you didn't do that again.
Sure.
You know why? Because you didn't have knee pads or a helmet, and it really freaking hurt.
Absolutely.
My dad, my buddy's dad, was a little bit of an eccentric. He wasn't eccentric. He was just kind of a guy who liked to mess around and try different stuff. So when he went to their house, they had a unicycle.
What do you mean? That's
they had a unicycle.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so, but it had an adjustable seat, so you could just slide it up and down. So, you know, I mean, you
that's
could be
just a little eccentric.
He also had like two or three pogo sticks. Now, as kids, you try to, I don't know if you've ever, you can figure out a pogo stick after a while. It's still kind of somewhat dangerous.
I mean, we had them as kids.
Same thing with the pogo stick. You get on there the first couple times, because almost every kid does this, you hit at a bit of an angle, and you begin to learn how physics work and geometry, right?
Sure.
You go slam it into the side of the house. But kids are pretty quick, though, just to adjust it so they go straight up and down. The unicycle, I've tried it like maybe three times in my life, and I'm so far from being able to do it, there's no point for me to even try it.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
you ever tried a unicycle, Ted?
No. I'm thinking about it right now. I'm just like,
it's impossible.
Like,
I
get you got to make your core tight, but I'm like, how do you even balance on that?
Exactly.
That's the thing. You got that one foot on the ground, you got one foot on the pedal, and as soon as you lift, and it's probably all in your own head, but I mean, I'm not even close to being able to get my balance.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about myself falling off like an exercise ball. I think I'm good on the unicycle.
It was a community pool. It's still open. And it's not
too
far,
tougher than they look, though.
It's not too far away from where I. It's not too far away from where I grew up. But last time I was in town, pool's booming. So you know, you drive by, and like the great thing about it was there was a high dive, like a high dive, and then like it was a springboard, 5-inch or 5 feet. I don't
right,
know.
Right.
They're gone. They had a huge ass slide, like a real tall slide.
Yep,
it's gone. Like all those things.
What has to happen? Is it the sheer number? So growing up, you had a community pool, and like you said, they all had a diving board at least, or the springboard diving board.
I mean, the pool deep in was like 12, 15 feet. So I mean,
maybe
they had,
like two kids a summer would hurt themselves, and I mean, they're not bloodied and taken to the hospital. But I mean, spring up that thing side would bust themselves up a little bit. They were fine, right? And this was every summer. So is it that you don't want to deal with the potential lawsuit of two sets of parents every summer? Or is it that after 20 years, you go, hey, man, like 80 kids have hurt themselves really bad. Maybe we should take it away. Because to me, that was the fun thing. That's why you wanted to go.
No, but it's not just parent or not just kids. It's parents, too. It's the pool we always went to. Like one year they got rid of it. And we were like, what happened? It was like the softball guys came in here after we're drunk. Some dude fell off the high dive and cracked his head open.
Well, when we used to do
it. But again, like, but he was drunk.
Yeah. If you were to go, I was part of that era where, like, they started
taking those things away.
Yeah,
because right?
The high dive, like, I never even got on as a kid. We always used the low one, but it was like, one day you'll be old enough to use that thing, but it was gone.
You know, same thing with playgrounds now, right? So, for good reason, I had not been to a playground forever because I didn't have kids. And you have kids go back to the playground, and everything there, man, not only are the things padded or made out of plastic, but also the ground, it's that weird kind of, like, it'll still hurt, but it's not cement kind of thing. And I'm like, man, when I was growing up, like, if you fell off the jungle gym, you hit cement. Mm-hmm. And again, like my father says, you learned real quick, either get better on the jungle gym or stop getting on the jungle gym. Right now, you watch kids drop, you know, 15 feet on the thing. Like, I'm fine. Like, I know you are.
Kids with summer birthdays, maybe if you're in a group, like a youth group or whatever when I was growing up, the reward that they would dangle the carrot, kind of like the Great Wolf Lodge.
Okay,
like, you guys do all this, man. We're taking down the Great Wolf Lodge, and blah, blah, blah. Well, they had a wave pool that was about a half an hour away from our town, but it was like the thing to do in this town.
Right, right.
So, if you know, like your parents had to drive, it was a pretty good commitment. Wave pool. Wave pool is basically like putting a bunch of kids in a washing machine and then turning it on the heaviest cycle that you've got. Like, I cannot think, like, they were constantly pulling kids out of there. I mean, it was almost like weekly. You know, like when you read something in the paper, like, you know, some kid found the bottom of the wave pool. And, like, they never shut it down.
Right.
It's just like, can your kid swim or not? But they would drop you off. It wasn't like you had parent supervision or anything like that. You just went to the wave pool. And, like, anymore, like, when I see these things, I'm like, oh, man, you don't realize how powerful those things can get.
Well, because as a kid, it's all fun. You know, as an adult, we look at it and go like, oh, my God, man. But as a kid, you're like, no, we like it because we have zero control over anything we're trying to do.
I mean, if you're near the turbines that push, like in the beginning of it, like the swells are 4 to 5 feet in a pool. Mm-hmm. Like as far as you bop it up and down. You know, like if you're not a good swimmer.
Right.
It's like Coast Guard training, for crying out loud.
But at least if you're far enough into the water, you could, like, ride them up and down.
The problem is,
you'd always have kids that would sit where, like, it does break a little bit.
And then they would just get trashed.
Right, because it's not sand underneath there.
No, it's concrete. And it dumps you on the concrete.
Wait, what is it with the Pittsburgh, West Virginia area? Those pools are massive in that area.
They are big.
I remember being a kid in Pittsburgh, and, like, my third or fourth cousin was like, come with us.
We're going
like,
the wave pool.
This is wild.
Yeah, I always preferred the safety of the water slide. But anyway, they had a discussion where kids were talking about things and toys that they had and games that would be considered dangerous. Today, some of the highlights.
Lawn darts.
Lawn darts are on the list. When the game was over, we used to throw them in the air. Playgrounds, again, plunked down on asphalt, concrete with metal slides.
I remember, man, it was during the summer, too, so we weren't even, like, in school. But we walked down to the playground at the school, me and my two buddies, and we climbed to the top of, like, the dome-shaped kind of jungle gym.
Yeah.
And I remember I slipped off, man, smacked my forehead on the first metal bar on the way down, which flipped me backwards and landed on my back.
Monkey bars.
Right. And I remember my buddy Andy looks down and says, are you okay? And I'm like, no.
Monkey bars were at least 8 feet off the ground.
Yeah,
I mean, and you're a kid. You're
were
four
they
feet
that high.
High,
or do we perceive them to be that high because we were kids?
Well, it seemed to me like they were.
Right, because as
we
a kid,
seven seems real high.
I don't know, they could have been like 6 feet.
I think they're about seven.
Yes, I feel like adults were always kind of dragging their feet if they were on them.
Right, because like 8 feet, man. Okay. That's a bit of a...
We had weird fake cigarettes and blew a cloud of powdered smoke.
And my parents would give me the if I were good.
You could buy a radioactive science kit that came with a real radioactive material for your Geiger counter.
Jesus Christ.
And one more on playgrounds. It was just the spinning thing. The thing that...
That thing was awesome. I
loved
it.
Stood on the back of it. Just this thing that just spins and shoots people off.
Like a merry-go-round.
They still got those.
Yeah, they still have those.
There's one kind of close by, man, and there were three kids, my two kids, and then one of their friends, right? So they asked me to spin it, and I'm a dude, man, so I am spinning the hell out of this thing, and one of the kids came on here a bit. One of my kids.
Yeah, right.
So I'm just like,
hey, slow down there.
That kid had to go 15 feet, man. I mean, because they'd be like, faster. That's what kids always say. And look, I'm the adult. I know I'm doing it too fast, but they're hanging on good, man. And everyone's laughing, and it's fun. Ooh, I almost said the kid's name, but lost his grip, man. And this dude, I mean, shot off of this thing. And I'm like, oh, God. So now I got to leave my kid spinning. Right, because I gotta make sure this kid isn't dead, so I don't have to have that conversation with the parent. So my kids are still whipping around. I run over there. Dude was all right. I mean,
then you took a soccer ball and kicked it accidentally into his head.
Wasn't that kid? But that kid I hit twice.
But that's fine. I mean, I remember being on a merry-go-round with whoever the parent was who was there.
Who's spinning?
Like, please spin us really fast.
That's
like we you don't stay just. We don't stay just. We need the speed.
But it comes down to this, and kids are pretty smart with this. You assess their situation. And you go, Ma, Dad, can you come here? Because Dad will spin you really fast. Dad is always willing to hurt kids.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Dad, can we build a treehouse and jump out? Yeah, all right. Let's just get a mat. Mom's going to say no, because Mom really, really loves you and is forward-thinking enough to understand how it's going to end. We just don't care, and we think maybe, just maybe it won't happen. Then you're like, ah, crap. Hey, baby, you were right. Yeah, I shouldn't have done that.
And you can make it more dangerous.
Then you get to the point where you're on fire.
Well, you're hanging like a leg off the side. I remember biting it hard on that one.
Yeah.
Danger. Right? But like my neighbor was a fireman.
Oh, yeah.
So he would spin us real fast, but it was always like, you got to sit in the middle and this and that. Basically, lock your body somehow in so as fast as he spun us, you don't fall out.
I learned that after I flung the one kid off. Like, you guys need to move to the center. Mm-hmm. It is a much better scenario. Hello, Rachel. Welcome to the men's room.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
Hola! Doing great, Rachel. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you guys?
We're doing good. Rachel, you don't happen to be a mom, do you?
I am a mom, yes.
Okay, I got one for you then, all right? Do you, and how old are your kids, Rachel?
I have a son that's 16.
All right, perfect. Did you save any of your kids' artwork from him growing up? The macaroni stuff? You know, maybe the turkey on the hand of the plate?
Of course.
How much?
You know, just a share. Not very many.
What percentage of his artwork did you save in his 16 years of living?
Probably 10%.
All right. And what was your... So there's certain things you see, and they're very sentimental to you. I have a few hanging up in the office, right?
Mm-hmm.
The art's garbage, but like I really like the motivation behind it. And then 99% of it is when the kid's not looking, this goes in recycling. But how long of a window did you give it before you finally threw it away? Was it like 2 days, a week, a month?
Probably a couple months.
Okay. All right. Do you have any of it still framed or displayed to this day?
Actually, I have, a picture of a tree, and it's the handprint is the branches.
Okay. My daughter made me this piece of pottery when she was younger, and I still have it, and I have it displayed. If someone asks me what it is, I don't know. I'm not sure what, I really do not remember what it's supposed to be. But I still have it, and it looks just like abstract kid art. Like, you don't know what it is, but...
My parents have one thing that I made, which blows my mind, and it was an art class. We had to make, like, a box that you could open and close, but out of clay, and it's fired in the kiln, but this box had a nose and a mustache on it. Again, I made this in seventh grade. I'm 52. I was over at their house at Easter. It is prominently displayed in
Israel.
Dude, I mean, this. I cannot believe they still have it.
Okay.
But they still
have it. I mean, this won't shock you. My mom has a bunch of that
stuff. I bet your mom has 98% of the stuff.
From your brother and sister as well, though.
No.
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
She keeps all that stuff.
All right.
I bet you she has more of your stuff than the other two. You're the baby, man.
I've got maybe...
Somebody's Christmas ball got lost years ago. I'll leave it at that.
Oh, okay.
Certainly was not mine.
Oh, I still have one of those. My parents, my mom decorates this beautiful tree. Looks like it should be in a magazine. Then there's these two ugly Christmas balls on there. And these are the ones like my brother and I made.
Balled up newspaper type
from,
style? Paper mache-ish kind of?
I don't remember if it's paper mache, but in barely legible glue and glitter, it just says my name, 1976.
Yeah,
I've got a bunch of stuff.
Still
have
to.
Yeah, I've got stuff like that.
Some of the dishes aren't that bad. Because, like my old babysitter was big into, like, what is that, like, is it like clay? You know, it's, it has like a glossy finish on it or whatever.
All right. So, so like kiln work stuff.
Right.
Glazed.
So we would sit there and kind of make like trees and stuff like that. Like if you showed up and just saw like candy in it, you wouldn't give it a second thought. But like we made them when we were like 8.
Damn.
My kids are about 17, 18 years old.
She made it foolproof.
I was so used to looking into the, just into my pantry. It always looked the same way. But I had a stack of 4 or 5 plastic cups that were different colors, kind of like the stack that you would see maybe like in an IKEA pack, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they were kids' sippy cups that came with 6 lids. They're 17 years old. They're 18 years old. But these have always been stacked in the corner back there with the lids. And I looked at them and I'm like, my kids are 17, 18 years old. I still have a stack of sippy cups back here.
They got to go.
That's what I said. I just got rid of them. I was like, hell, though. I just threw them in recycling. I'm like, why do I still have these sippy cups? It was weird. It was like, time had not moved for me. It's like, of course I got sippy cups. I got kids.
One of the greatest days of my life was getting rid of sippy cups. I cannot explain how much I mean, look, you just can't give your kid a glass because kids are kids. But when the day came when they could start, and look, I'm still like, grab the plastic cups.
Right.
But when we could get rid of sippy cups, I'm like, dude. I almost wanted to like light a giant bonfire, dance naked, and chant for the gods. Like, get this S out of my house that's taking up all the room in my goddamn pantry.
Stopped me in my tracks the other day on the Burke Gilman Trail, walking down by the canal in Fremont, right? And there is a there's a binky. And the binky has like the little cord that comes out that maybe attaches to the wrist or something like this. Okay, but it's just on the trail. And I stop and I'm like, oh, this is not good. This is not good. You cannot lose the binky. You don't understand how important that is.
Oh, no, they understood.
At that point in time in a kid's life, like, you don't have a spare binky on you. Like, that kid needs the binky. Like, that binky solves everything. Like, that's a meltdown stopper. You know what I mean? Like, that thing is gold. I looked down, I'm like, I just wanted to see if I could see, like, a stroller or somebody pushing a kid somewhere, like, your binky! You know what I mean? Your binky! Reason we asked, did you save any of your kids' artwork? According to a new survey, the average mom will get 45 homemade art gifts from her kids through their childhood. That's pretty good.
All right.
Now, 88% of moms say they like those gifts and appreciate being able to look back at them, and they'll hold on to them for about maybe 16 years. But 15% of moms say they've held on to one piece of their children's art for more than 30. But most of them says they've thrown most all of it away. But they pretend like they did not.
But I think it's more for the parents. Like, I never visit my mom and go, hey, can you pull out that piece of artwork from first grade?
It has nothing to do with the kid. It has everything to do with the parent. And it's all about how the parent feels when they look at it.
It doesn't have to be.
Because I wouldn't even think to ask. I don't even know what I gave my parents for artwork and to even ask.
It doesn't even matter if it's artwork. Sometimes it's just like, I made a card for you.
Yeah,
for Father's Day or whatever, or like the Uranus birthday card that your kids got for your birthday. That's a keeper.
It absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be. It's from their heart. It's not made by them.
Well, it's from the heart, but it's a joke about Uranus.
What was the joke?
I can't remember, but it was very apropos for me.
Was something like, you're the best person on planet Earth?
What did the one planet say to the other planet? I can see Uranus. And my kids feel that this is the most high-quality joke ever. They woke me up
Happy
early
birthday, Dad.
Just to give it to me.
What's wrong with that?
I think it's fair.
More of the Random Question coming up. 206-421-RUN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found.
LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
99.9 KISW.
Yay!
You're in the men's room.
Here's our random question. Question 206-421-ROCK.
Random, 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 random.
Hello,
random,
Dave. Random, welcome random, to the men's room. Random,
random. Good day, gentlemen.
Hola!
Dave, welcome to the program. Random question, question. All right, Dave, let's go with this one. What tool or thing would you say that you had no business even trying to use?
I damn near hurt myself years ago when I was helping out my uncle's electrical contracting firm my dad worked for, and can't remember what you actually call them, but you hold them and they pound the cement underneath.
A jackhammer?
Yeah, kind of like that, and I damn near hurt myself pretty good.
Had you ever used one before?
No.
I can't imagine. Like, hey, you never used one of these? Yeah, you use this.
Right.
Go ahead, grab that,
like,
fire that
you
bad
can
boy.
Go to the rental center, and they will rent out just about anything to you.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that you're qualified to use it, you know?
It was one of those things, you know? It's just, and my dad grew up, and the way, he raised me was like, here it is, deal with it.
Well, when we were in junior high, we had a shop class. Mm-hmm. And the shop class was pretty extensive as far as the tools that you learned how to use in the class. And actually, in retrospect, as much as I made fun of shop class and everything else, I think I built a pretty nice shelf out of it and some type of box.
Aren't you glad you took it?
Some type of box with a lid or whatever, you know. But either way, I just remember the tools that we were using in there and just how dangerous they were for a 14, 13-year-old kid. And it's nothing that, you know... It was like, and the shop teacher was just one of those guys, like, lost finger, my bad. You know what I mean? He didn't care. But we had, like, band saws, table saws.
Sure.
They called planer, or what's the
planer.
Planer, the long table thing where you push the thing down and you hit a knot, man, a board will kick up, all this crap. And it was just not really a big deal, but, I mean, he had a half a finger on one hand, so he already knew that he'd messed up.
But that's why you knew, and you believed when they said safety first, you're like... I'm going to take it from the source because he's missing a finger, right? So, like, when he says, be careful, this thing's going to take a finger, and they hold her hand up, you go, geez. But I also feel like, to a degree, and you're right, you have all of these things in shop class. But the flip side, a lot of times, kids take instruction better than adults.
Yeah.
So you say, look, these are dangerous, these can kill you. And a lot of times, that's enough to scare kids that they follow you to the letter of what you say to do. We're adults, you're like, I ain't worried about it, I got this.
We are. They had to clear.
That's why none of the kids were missing fingers, but the shop teachers were.
They had to clear an area to put an extra parking lot at our school, so the Boy Scouts of America and my troop, they volunteered to help clear some of the trees. That way that they could use the wood and sell it in cords.
Ah, okay.
Make some money for the
always
scouts.
Hustling those
scouts,
scouts
in the area. So basically the way the thing down went down was this. The scoutmasters, they would fell the trees.
Mm-hmm.
Then you would go out there, you two, three of your buddies. And again, we're 12, 13 years old. And we all had chainsaws. And they were all like, trust me, the guy who loans you his chainsaw never gives you like the good one he's got.
Of course not.
Like the Poulan, the brand new one.
Because you're 13.
You've got an older, like, you know, snapper, you know what I mean? But the chain's a little bit loose, whatever. And most of the wood was locust, which is very knotty. It is, it's crap wood. It burns pretty well, but it's just, it's tough to get through. So, I mean, the kickbacks from these chainsaws was intense.
Mm-hmm.
When you're 12, 13 years old, you're hanging on for dear life. Then we take those logs to our 12-year-old buddy who was working the gas wood splitter.
Right.
Again, this is not a good idea. You know what I'm saying? Like, the whole thing was like, if you just watch it, you'd be like, what is going on
here? Uh-huh.
What is going on? Reason we asked, what tool did you have no business even trying to use? A TV director actually died in a freak accident down in Australia. Right. And he was a TV director guy, people who knew who he was. One minute, we were admiring how straight the hedge was looking, and the next, John was in an ambulance, says the widow of an Australian TV director, John Claiborne. He died Tuesday after a freak hedge trimmer accident.
Hedge trimmers?
Guy's only 52. He was working in his garden when he accidentally cut his arm. He severed it with a cordless saw. Shocked by the injury, he then fell nearly 10 feet off his ladder. His wife heard a branch break and called out to check on him, and he was able to tell her to call an ambulance, trying to stay calm because he knew he was phobic about blood. Well, she tried to stop the bleeding with towels as he rolled on the ground, but he was in cardiac arrest due to blood loss by the time the paramedics arrived, and he died at the hospital. By the way, he had just bought that power tool earlier in the day.
Oh!
According to the Sun. By the way,
jeez,
he was the director of shows that include Home and Away, which is a big show in Australia, Survivor, Australia, okay. The Wiggles.
Oh, wow. It sounds stupid, but that's your money right there.
And Wonderland. So this guy was, if you're in charge of the Wiggles, by any stretch of the imagination.
You're a bigwig.
You're going to make some pretty good cash.
Do you think that Survivor Australia is just following any average person in Australia?
They can't go anywhere else because it's
everything there is designed to kill you, right?
It's just them going to the corner store.
Right. That's all it is.
Random. Go for a swim? You're on Survivor Australia.
Hello, Craig. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Craig, welcome to the program. Random question. Let's stick with a kid well. We're having fun with kids today on Random Question.
Okay.
What would you say is an adult problem that no one prepared you for as a kid? You had no idea. It was just like, not that it's the biggest deal in the world, but you just didn't know how life worked until you became an adult.
I think the ultimate answer to that, the thing they don't prepare you for as a kid, is having kids.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of on the list.
I avoided the having kids thing, so everybody thinks they can do a better job at raising their kids than their parents did of raising them, right? But I don't know. I can't think of anything. Like, I need an example, and I'll maybe.
Okay, a lot of times it's just, how to manage your money.
I wish that somebody would have explained to me, like, the stock market or been like, hey, Craig, let's invest, there's this local company called Microsoft. Let's, put some money in there.
We all wish we had that, but I'd say even stuff like credit card debt. Because most people you meet, if you have a credit card, you're probably in debt. The difference is how much debt you're in. And a lot of people in their 20s are really under it because hey, man, I pay my minimums each month. And you go, that's fine. That keeps it afloat, but you're not paying anything toward the principal, right?
Right. So a good example would be, all right, when you get birthday money or maybe you get money from babysitting or doing some chores around the house, you are saving up that money to buy the thing that you really want.
Right. Video game, console, bike, whatever.
As an adult, you don't tend to spend your money on things that you really want compared to things that you need to buy and things that you need to have to survive.
Or again, that debt hanging over your head. Like, ooh, birthday money. Yeah, we still owe this on the credit card.
Exactly. So what's an adult problem no one prepared you for as a kid? Here are a couple of the answers that came in.
I gotta say, I think part of it, and as you get older, it gets a little bit easier, but especially in like your early 20s,
mm-hmm.
is just time. Because you can do whatever you want. And a lot of people in their early 20s don't have kids yet or anything.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And like, you look back on it, it's like, yeah, damn, we were going out like 4 or 5 nights a week.
But what I would say is, if you're in your early 20s and don't have kids, and you're, granted, COVID is throwing a monkey wrench, but assume we're in normal times, go out, have fun. Because once you have kids, it's just, like, you can still go out and have fun. It's not that, but you have to wait a little while. Like, I can now go out and have fun again, but there's about 8 solid years where it's like, I have to deal with this. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, because, Mike, we were talking about you this weekend, right? And so my wife said, hey, congratulations to Mike. He became an uncle. And I said, Mike made the comment that he might wait till the next day to see the kid because his sister's going to be really tired. To which my wife laughed, said, right, she's going to be tired for the rest of her life. Just understand, like, as of the day that you're tired for the rest of your life. So it doesn't matter what day you see her, Mike, she's going to be tired.
Now, I don't know about you guys, but when I would come home every day from school, the first thing that I would ask my mom or my dad,
What's up, Mama?
What's up?
Where's my snacks?
What's it? Real close. What's for dinner?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What's for dinner? And it was a question. It wasn't that I was in control of it. It was just a question.
But you still had an opinion of it.
I do.
Sometimes I don't know if I want to eat that.
Sometimes it was good. Sometimes it was bad. It was no different than the lunch cafeteria. You knew the good days. You knew the bad days, right? But as an adult, you need to decide what you're going to eat every day. And that can be an annoyance, especially if you are cohabitating with someone else.
That's the only time it's annoying.
It's not really that big of a deal. But the one good thing is you get to eat kind of what you want. But for the most part, no one prepared you for that when you were a kid. But as an adult, you're going to have to make those decisions and then either make it or buy it or something, you know?
Either way, you invest your time or money. But also, you know, when you cohabitate, like, it's very important. And I do not understand why this is. But when you sit down for dinner at home, it's seemingly it is important that we're all eating the same thing. Well, like if we went to a restaurant and I ordered what you ordered and we're dating, you get annoyed. Like, well, I'm already getting this. Why don't you get something else, right? But at home, like, okay, cool. You want to eat that. How about I make this for me? We can eat at the same time. We will be at the same table. Like, we can have the same conversation. But no. We will eat identical meals at home. Like,
but here's the thing. You do have that person in your life, and you've been with them before, where everything that you do is tapas. And I don't care if you got like a ribeye and a baked potato and that's your dinner. So depending on who you're going out with, it might be behoove you to order exactly what they get.
So that way, they won't eat
their fork won't be in your plate.
I just wanted to try it.
Right.
I understand that.
You got a salad, I got the fries. Like you.
But they asked you.
Right.
They said, do you want a salad or fries? You said salad. I heard you say salad. They brought you salad.
Can I try your...
And you still have salad left, but you're eating my fries.
This is not a Chinese restaurant. We didn't order eight things.
Right.
These are two things.
Yeah, I'm guilty of that, too. Like, if I order... Like, I get the fries thing, but I'll do that sometimes. If I'm sitting there with somebody, just be like, what are you getting? You want to maybe work a trade here?
Well, that's fine if you set it up ahead
of
time.
Yeah.
See, if you set it up
ahead
of
time, that's fine.
But that's different because now we're being strategic.
Right.
Like, okay, the side that comes with the dish you want is a side I like more than you do, but the side that comes with mine is something you like.
Well, yeah, good. I get fries, you get rings.
Hey, no problem, brother. Right. We'll just switch it up, right?
I'll get a rack of ribs. We'll split them. You get that big cheesesteak sandwich. We'll split that, too.
If you don't tell me that you planned on eating onion rings, and the only person who has onion rings is me, and now you're eating all of my onion rings, this is not how this should work.
A couple more adult problems that no one prepared you for as a kid.
Let me just step back on this. All of that changes again when you have kids. Somehow... The only human beings that you will allow to just basically consume your dinner for you are your kids. Mm. You don't want them to. We took our kids to a restaurant. My son insisted on going to a fancy restaurant. He just wanted to get dressed up with the grandparents. Fine. We get dressed up. We go to this restaurant. He orders a steak. Well, I'm not thinking, so we get a medium rare. It's a little bloody for him. Now, I got this big-ass lamb shank, and my mouth is watering. So now he's not eating. I said, well, do you want to try some of my lamb? He tries a small piece of lamb. His world changed. He ate my entire goddamn lamb shank.
And you got a medium rare
steak that I didn't want to order. Mm-hmm. The steak was fine.
Not the worst.
It's not what I wanted.
Not the worst consolation prize by any stretch.
Except that it wasn't my dinner. My dinner was that delicious lamb.
I know. Let's see here. What's an adult problem no one prepared you for as a kid that you actually have to exercise to stay healthy? Things like baseball, soccer, and running around with your friends go away. So you have to replace that with boring crap, like running on a treadmill. The fact that holidays aren't nearly as fun. For kids, it's all about with presents,
right.
Hanging out with family. For adults, it's hanging out with family and having to buy stuff and then deal with that family. What else? How to quit a job. As kids, they tell you to respect authority. So a lot of people find it uncomfortable and even try to avoid it.
Mm-hmm.
Drifting away from friends because everyone's so busy. And then making new friends is a lot harder the older that you get. And the final one, having to work all year. And not getting your summers off. Wasn't that a nice break? Also, just less spare time in general. Some of the things you don't get prepared for as a child.
Somebody here says taxes. And then someone else, they expand. They say, they did not prepare me for the amount of federal taxes that be taken out of my paycheck every time I get paid. All right, as adults, we're like, right, we get taxed. But as a kid, you don't get it, right? So I tried to explain this to my kids. We were doing our taxes. That was the thing. We're going to go get our taxes done. That's what are taxes? And I said, look. Say I'm going to give you $10 because you did so-and-so. They're like, okay. And I hand you $7.50. So my son's like, well, then you lied. I'm like, I didn't lie. I taxed you.
Mm-hmm.
And then I keep this $250, but that $250 in theory goes to something that we can all use in the house, right? So I'm like, so that's it. So when someone tells you what they make a year, that's not what they make a year.
What
they make is about two-thirds of that.
My buddy, I started out working with this guy in radio, and he actually was the guy who produced the G. Gordon Liddy show.
Okay,
passed away and all this stuff. So So he was in radio for a number of years. He decided that he was going to go back and get his master's degree in broadcast television and radio. So he goes back and gets his master's degree because he wants to teach. The reason he wants to teach is he's tired of getting fired and moving around all the place.
Sure.
And he's like, look, I figured this, man. I remember college. We had the same college professor, great guy. And his thing was like, look, if you ever just want to teach and you're ever good enough, do it. I only work like 8-9 months a year.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, they pay me full time. So Matty basically just took his advice and now is a college professor. He teaches kids. He teaches what he loves doing.
Sure, sure.
But they pay him a set. Could you imagine going someplace going like, all right, we're going to pay you $45,000, $50,000 a year. And you get 3.5 months off a year.
No, no. But in addition to the vacation that goes.
You still get benefits. You still get medical. You still get all those.
It's like working in England. You get a holiday.
You can also take that money and spread it out. It's not like you don't get paid for those 3.5 months.
Yeah, but don't forget, you also have homework.
You do.
You do, but you basically have the same curriculum every semester.
I know. I'm just saying, there's educators in my family. The stuff they have to do at home, I want nothing to do with.
As far as grading papers and all that stuff to take home with them.
Right, I'm not a big fan of taking stuff home, but I will say, but to me, I say bravo to them because I'm a fan of the English way. You know, they don't get vacation, they get holiday. So I'm like, you're working the job that if I were from England, I'm like, well, you should get 3 months off a year.
I do remember
who the hell. Why does everyone brag about how much they work? Because no one ever brags about how much they get paid. No one's that excited about how much they paid toward taxes. But I only took 2 days off. And I used to be that guy. And then at some point, I'm like, that is effing stupid. You take every goddamn vacation day they're going to offer you, man. What are you doing?
Mike, this is my thing, right? You go to work. Mm-hmm. You work 10 hours a day, whatever you work, right? You go home, you go home. You might have to take care of one or two little things that are work-related. You might get an email late at night. Look, if you're an educator, and I'm sorry, you've got these kids for 8 hours a day, all right? It's a full-time job for them. Now, you're sending more work home with them. Like, if you're that smart, can't you figure out a way to get what you need in that's relevant in the amount of time that those kids are there every day so they don't have to do that, so the teacher doesn't have to go home and grade homework and do all the granted tests or tests, and you have to, you know, maybe grade a test. But from the standpoint of, like, you mean to tell me you got this kid all day, 5 days a week.
But you didn't get to this.
But you don't have enough. You need to budget your time better because everybody else does. Like, you need to figure out, like, why am I teaching this? Is this really relevant? Are there better things to teach? Could I do this more efficiently? Like, the kids are already losing their mind as far as attention span anyway.
Sure.
So you just think, like, there's plenty of time. It's like dropping your car off the dealership and going, well, John's got to take it home tonight because he couldn't get all the work done today.
You'd be like, what?
What? No, he doesn't do that. It's like, he gets the work done. That's how you do it. Jesus Christ. I hate it.
Random.
Trust me.
I know as a kid.
Wherever you work, there is a quote-unquote system that has to be followed and this and that.
Yep.
Trust me. If you let teachers change things,
they would.
There's our no homework. System would be a lot different.
Yes. They should. They should.
We should listen to
them. But they got to follow the damn curriculum that's given to them by a city or state or whatever.
That's it, man. And every year it changes.
It's like the guy who graduates from the military academy goes right in and tells people who've been there for 4 years what the hell to do.
Right. Oh, he's well respected.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Right.
Hello, Michael. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Michael, welcome to the program. The random question. All right, let's see here. All right, Michael, let's go with this one. How many one-night stands would you think you've had in your lifetime?
Oh, my gosh. My girl's listening to me in the car.
Oh, really?
Okay, well, then we'll know you're lying, but just give us a good number. We'll work with that.
I'm going to go with 7.
Okay. You're going to go with. Yeah. Well, what do you think her number would be if you ask her the same question? I bet you she'll say 7 or less.
Nah, man, she's been plugged up for a while, so...
Okay.
All right.
Did he say fluffed up?
Yeah. Basically.
Okay. All right.
But I might work against you.
Wait. Now, do you regret one night stands? Is the question you're asking on this? Yeah. Well, it's not unusual for a moment of passion, they say, to turn into instant regret the morning after. However, they did a new study on one night stands, and they found that those who've taken the walk of shame, they're going to do it again real soon.
Yeah.
So even though you feel regret, you're like, it's probably a bad idea, you're going to be down with it again.
Because it's sex.
Researchers in Norway say regret over a one-night stand doesn't end up teaching men or women anything at all.
Right.
In fact, both sexes will likely repeat their decisions about casual sex regardless of how much they regret their last encounter.
I feel so bad. I'm going to go home with her tonight.
I'm going to give one more shot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, did you have to do a study for that?
They did. They just wanted to figure out psychologically how it affected people and their behavior. Because like anything else, you know, risk, reward.
Sure.
You touch the stove when it's hot. You try not to touch it again if you know it's hot. The same thing.
But the stove doesn't bring you joy.
The stove is hot. You touched it. You're going to. Well, if you feel.
No, but the stove sucks at the beginning. And then you regret it.
Yeah.
But with sex, like, sex was awesome. Now we regret it. But it's a different regret. Because most of the time, anytime I've heard someone complain about the one-night stand, it is not that they had sex. It is who they had sex with. So the next time that they set up the one-night stand, the theory is, well, it's not that person. It's going to be this person, right?
Yeah, I'm with you.
I mean, Sergeant, it's like hot sauce. You know, maybe I put a hot, and I'm like, oh, my God, this is so hot. You can't even taste it. My tongue's burning. But I don't stop eating hot sauce. I'm just not going to have that hot sauce. But there's other hot sauces to try. And if you keep presenting them to me, I'm going to give each one a day. Some are a little worse than others, but in the end, you go, well, I know the sauces I like now. And then you find a brand and you stick with it.
Your guess is as good as my account of the categories today. Your 10 favorite pets and 10 favorite donuts. You are listening to The Men's Room.